All right, my friends, we have the Swiss this year of having an other Sheni, which in many ways means that we have the Iker Purim. The real Purim seems to be rooted in the whole nature of other Sheni, not only historically, but in the very essence of the whole Mahus of the Chodesh. Maral always says, Dvarim Gedolim Einam B'Mikra, which means that big things don't happen by accident. There's no such thing as chance. Certainly if we're into the Baal Shem Tov's approach to Hashgacha Pratis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of operating in the world, every single thing that we encounter, we see, we hear, we experience, it's meant to be thought about, to be darshaned, to think about it. Neil Badner, Darshani. To look at the whole world, for those who follow Neil's Twitter, to look at the whole world and to darshan things, to ask, what do I learn from this? What do I learn from this? All the more so we talk about the Torah. Dvar Gedolim Einam B'Mikra. Certainly, you read through the Chumash, every letter is filled with depth and it's meant to be expounded. The Rabbeinu Bachaya writes in his Kara Kemach, which is an encyclopedia collected topically, he says that when it comes to Megillas Esther, every single letter of Megillas Esther, every single word of this Megillah is telling us something about the history of mankind, both the past, the present, and the future. Everything you could ever need to know or want to know is found within the Megillah. And in a sense, we could even say that the Megillah, and this is going to sound a little radical, that the Megillah is even greater, it's even greater in this regard than the Torah itself. How could I say such a thing? So, I'm not saying such a thing. The Chassam Sofer said such a thing. The Chassam Sofer said that the Or, the light that emerges from Megillah Esther, the amount of pnimius, so to speak, that can be extracted from Megillas Esther, is even greater than the aura of Torah's Moshe. It's a pretty bold statement, to say the least. The light of the Megillah is greater. There's a greater depth to Megillas Esther, even than Torah's Moshe. That's a very, very strong statement. But it makes a lot of sense to us. This is the Yom Tov, Mishnichlas Yayin Yatza Sod. This is the Yom Tov where everything operates on the level of Sod, that the deepest of the deep comes pouring out. And the truth is, the Chassam Sofer's statement, if it makes us nervous, can be backed up a little bit, I think, by the Talmud Yerushalmi in source number one. At least to bring Torah up to the level, Megillah rather, up to the level of the Torah, if not to say that it surpasses it. Talmud Yerushalmi says in the first parak, Mesechus Megillah, Zoso Meris, Shemegillas Esther, Nitna Lihidarsh. Just like the Torah is meant to be darshaned, that every word of Torah, every letter of Torah is meant to be expounded. Is anyone else warm in here?
Yes.
Shikol warm, no? Can we maybe try to open that window? Thank you. I don't want people to suffer. I don't mind. It's worth it. It's worth it to learn Torah together, but I don't think we have an obligation to suffer. Corey?
I generally suffer from heat.
You generally suffer from heat?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's open it up a little bit. So the Megillah is meant to be darshaned. Every letter of the Megillah is meant to be thought about. It's meant to be expounded. Rabbi Chelbo, Rabbi Yassa, B'Shem, Rabbi Lazar. Nemar, Kan, Divrei, Shalom, V'Emes. It says in Megillah Esther that the Megillah Esther is Shalom, V'Emes. It's an Emes, Dika Sefer. V'Nemar, L'Halon. And we know elsewhere, it says elsewhere in Tanakh, Emes Kenei, this is Mishle, Emes Kenei, V'Al Timkor. Acquire truth and don't sell it cheaply. Ki Lekach Tov, Nasati, L'Chem, Torasi, Al Tazov. Acquire it and don't get rid of it. It's a reference to the Torah. The MS being referred to in that pasuk is the MS of Torah. So there's a strong link between the Divrei Shalom, the MS of Megillas Esther, and the MS, the Amita Shel Torah. And that's what the Yerushalmi says, Harei Hika Amita Shel Torah. Ma Zotzvi Chasirtut, just like a Torah needs lines. You have to draw lines before being able to write the Sefer Torah. Av Zotzvi Chasirtut. Okay, the Bavli has that line also. It requires lines ka'amita shel Torah, divrei shalom ve'emes, ka'amita shel Torah is the lashon of the Bavli as well. But then it concludes here in the Yerushalmi, ma'zo nitna lihidarish, avzo nitna lihidarish. Just like the Torah is meant to be taken seriously, very seriously, the Megillah is meant to be taken equally, if not even more seriously. Chas v'shalom, it's easy to look at Megillah Esther as a historical account. Rabbi Chesed Abramsky used to say, that's why the Megillah ends. If you want to hear more about this, it's already ksuvim, it's already recorded in the history books of Paras Umadai. If you want to see it from a historical perspective, go look in the secular works. Because this is not a history lesson. It's not a simplistic history lesson. Megillas Esther is telling us the inner workings of the entire Bria. And therefore, Nitna Lihidarish is meant to be expounded in a very, very deep way. Says the Pnei Moshe, one of the classic commentaries on the side of the Yerushalmi, what does it mean? Klomar, Sheberuach HaKodesh Nemra, V'loke Sipor Maisa Ba'alma, She'in Medaktikin Ba. It's not, again, a loosely worded story where it may have some extra words, some extra letters. Every single bit of it was given Baruch HaKodesh and is meant to be taken exceptionally seriously. And again, to see it as something not just a retelling of the past, to see it as something that's mamish impacting how we live our life today. Megillas Esther, it's being Megala the Hester. It's being Megala the secrets of the universe. That's why the Baal Shem Tov explained the Mishnah, Meseches Megillah, Koreas and Megillah Mafreya Lo Yatsa. Source number 3. A person who reads the Megillah backwards, Lo Yatsa, that's the halacha. If you read the Megillah out of order, you walk into shul late, in the middle of Megillas Esther, in the fifth parak, you hear the second half of the Megillah, and then afterwards you make up the first half of the Megillah, Lo Yatsa. You've not fulfilled your obligation. Why? I'm passing this way. Pashup Shad is because the flow of the Megillah, the chronological flow of the Megillah, tells us a lot about the very nature of how this miracle within Teva unfolds. So in order to truly appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us, you have to hear it from beginning to end. But the Baal Shem Tov, the Magid, and Talmid Baal Shem all explained that Koreas Megillah Mafreya Lo Yatsa, if you read the Megillah, Lemafreya, as a thing of the past, if you think this is just a recounting of something that once was, then Lo Yatsa, you haven't understood what the Megillah is about. The Megillah is telling us not only how things once were, but the Megillah is teaching us how to move towards Geula. It's the book that brings us towards the Mashiach from Harabi Amenu. So we have to understand it as a thing that's relevant in a very, very real way to us right now. Mirz Hashem, the Shabbos, we're going to read Parshas Pekudei. It's Shabbos, Mevarchim, Chodesh, Adar Sheni. So we're getting really to the Ikar Adar, as we'll see, the Adar Sheni. And I wanted to bring to your attention something very interesting. We're not going to get back to it until the very end of this year, but I'll raise the question now. And that is, if you open up a Mikras Gedolos Chumash, open up a standard Chumash, and you look at the end of every Parsha, usually there's a siman. It tells you the number of Psukim. This past week's Parsha, Vayakal, had 122 Psukim, and it brought a siman to remember it. Each Parsha has a siman to remember the number of Psukim in that Parsha. You come to Parsha's Pekudei, and you look, and you can check this yourself, check it in a standard Chumash, you'll find that it does not give a siman for the number of Psukim. And the question is why? Why should that be? Why should Pekudei not have a siman? So you'll tell me, well, maybe it's because at the end of the Sefer it tells you the number of Psukim in the entire Sefer. It says there are 1,209 Psukim, so if you've been counting for the first 10 Parashios, so you've been counting the first 10 Parashios, so you should be able to figure it out. If 1209 is the total, and you've been keeping track of the first 10 Parashios, so you should figure out the difference. That would be nice if that was true by each of the last Parshios in each Sefer. But Vayechi has a Simen. Vayechi has a Simen. B'chukosai has a Simen. Masai has a Simen. V'zos HaBracha has a Simen. So why is it that Parshas Pekudei in Pnimius HaTorah, what can we say? Why is it that Parshas Pekudei, for some strange reason, is left without a Simen? And what does it tell us as we bring in Chodesh Adar Sheni, this Shabbos? Shabbos Mevarchim, Chodesh Adar Sheni, Sunday's Rosh Chodesh. What does that mean? Why is it that Parshas Pekudei seems to be left without a siman? Now the truth is, if you look in the Malbim, if you look in the Malbim Chumash, some editions, not all editions, my Malbim at home happens to not have this, but some editions of the Malbim Chumash actually bring a siman, and the siman is Eitzei, Aleph Tzadi Aleph. Aleph Tzadi Aleph. Because there are 92 Psukim in Parshas Pekudei, so the Malbim, in some editions, again not all editions, brings a siman. But again, what's the pshat? What's the pshat in the Malbim Siman? Why in almost all editions of the Chumash do we not find the Siman? And what does it mean in Pnimius HaTorah? Again, the Maharal's rule, Dvarim Gedolim, Einim B'mikra. So let's learn a little history. What actually happened historically the year of Purim? Was it another Rishon? Was it another Sheni? What exactly happened that year? So the Chassam Sofer in his Chedush HaChassam Sofer on Maseches Megillah brings the following version of the tale. Now we'll see it contradicts. It goes, seems to be against the Pashtus of Yerushalmi, which we'll see in source number 5 in a moment. But the Chassam Sofer, for a variety of reasons, was troubled by this Yerushalmi. Again, it's not for right now to understand exactly what was bothering him, but he had to reinterpret the Yerushalmi. Let's read the Chassam Sofer's understanding of how Purim played itself out, and then we'll read it Kapshuto in the Yerushalmi. And generally we assume like, I'm just bringing it to your attention just so you should understand a little bit again the different approaches. But the Chassam Sofer suggested the following. He says, V'drusha gada, amarti d'shna saneis haya ro'oi liyasabra. He says, the year of the Purim miracle should have been a leap year. Should have, mashma, it wasn't. It should have been a leap year. It was appropriate that it would have worked out. Al pi cheshbon, it would have made sense that that year should have been a leap year. V'niskavin ha'amad ligzor shmad b'chodesh adar harishon. And Haman decided, knowing that Klai Yisrael were intending on making a leap year, Haman said, this is great. If I can try to destroy Klai Yisrael, if I can try to attack Klai Yisrael in that first month of Adar, this is going to be perfect. How do you know that Haman intended to destroy the Jewish people in the first Adar? Because the Pasuk says, Kiddichsev, L'chodesh Shnei Masar. Below be your gimel. Now we'll see how the Yerushalmi actually darshans that. From the fact that it says it was the 12th month, right? The way the Chassam Sofer is reading it is mashma that there could have been a 13th month, and Haman Dafka was targeting the 12th month to the exclusion of the 13th month. Why did Haman want to strike Dafka in Chodesh Adar Aleph? Kedesha lo yagin zchus Moshe Rabbeinu al v'shal. He did not want the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, again, he says, look in the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara seems to say that Haman was excited that Chodesh Adar was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. And he didn't realize that Chodesh Adar was also the month that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Right? So Haman seems to have not understood this. According to the Chassam Sofer, that was Dafka's Kavanah. He knew that was Moshe Rabbeinu's month. He knew the Schus of Moshe Rabbeinu would protect Klai Yisrael. But when you have two Adars, when is Moshe Rabbeinu's Yartzeit commemorated? Right? In the second Adar. The second Adar becomes the main Adar in that sense. So Haman says, this is great. This is my one chance to be able to attack Klai Yisrael, to take away their greatest chos, their greatest leader, the most dedicated leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to destroy them in Adar Aleph. And they're not going to have the chos of Moshe Rabbeinu until Adar Sheni, and therefore my plan will come to fruition. Shechad shosha Moshe Rabbeinu hu b'sheni, like the Yaivitz explains in the Siddur, Ayin Shah. Good. So now look 5 lines from the end of the piece. Ukeshagavru Mordechai v'Esther. When Mordechai and Esther figured out Haman's evil cheshbon, lo ibru oso hashana. So to block Haman, to make sure that we would have this chus of Moshe Rabbeinu, they decided, you know what? We're going to have to stick with only one other. That way we can have our other going next to Nisan. A geula next to a geula. That's a potential for greater geula. And it was, it did, it brought the geula for them. That gives us the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, because it will be Moshe Rabbeinu's month. So this was their way of blocking and overpowering Haman. Dafka in the month of Moshe Rabbeinu, they would have the milchama against Amalek, against Haman, and the rest of the world. The following year had to become, says Chassam Sofer, the following year had to become a leap year, because they were behind schedule, they had to make it a leap year. V'asvi me simcha, B'sheni, and then they have to figure out, well, now that we're going to celebrate Purim, the original Purim, according to Chassam Sofer, took place in the Rishon. But the following year, right, they were trying to figure out, how should we celebrate Purim? They were koveya that the second month is really the Iker. V'asu yimei simcha b'sheni, because the whole Indian of Yivur Shana is what led to the salvation, in a sense. V'asu hesped b'rishon, kishneim garmim. They still added certain restrictions, the whole Indian of Purim Katan and the various restrictions of other Aleph, in order to give it its place. Amnama Iker b'sheni mishom mismach gula l'gula, like the Gemara explains, we want very badly that the salvation of others should be aligned with the salvation of Nisan. This is the Chassam Sofer's understanding of historically what happened. Again, if we were to read the Yerushalmi, and he had specific questions that led him to this interpretation, we would have said differently. Says the Talmud Yerushalmi in source number 5, again in Parak Aleph of Maseches Megillah Halacha Hey, Rebbe Levi B'Shem Rebbe Chama Bar Chanina, Osa Hashana Haisen Mubaris. That year was Mubaris, and the pashtus is that not only was it Roy to be a leap year, but it was a leap year. Matame, how do you know it? Matame in Yerushalmi language means, how do you know? Minalan. Miyom liyom umichodesh lchodesh shnei masar hu chodesh adar. It was the 12th month, which was chodesh adar. Nu, seems a bit wordy. I have to tell me the 12th month is chodesh adar. Explains the carbon aid on the Yerushalmi hu chodesh adar lamali elahachi ka'amar lchodesh yud beis shebechol shana. It was the 12th month in a normal year aval osa aval ata hu chodesh yud gimel. But that particular year, it wasn't. Shnei Masar is usually Chodesh Adar. This year it happens to have been the 13th month of Adar. Okay, again, working out the Psukim, debating what the Yerushalmi is exactly saying here. But again, the pashtus is Osa Shana was Mu'uberes. Not that it had potential to be Mu'uberes, but it was. And that's normally how we assume. The Svarma Kadoshim, that's how it's assumed. That the actual Purim story took place in a other shape. Yes, of course.
Wasn't the 12 months still called another though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I need to the Yerushalmi, look into it a little bit more, and we'll try to understand. But if we're going to follow, again, the pashas, and we'll just bring the Chasam Sofer to your attention, so you should know. And again, you may have problems, as Corey does, with the Yerushalmi, and how to read it exactly, how to read the Pasuk in the Megillah itself. But if we're going to assume that the Purim story took place in Adar Sheni, and this year we have the schools of actually celebrating Purim in the ideal way in Adar Sheni. So there's one little problem. Adar Sheni presents a very, very unique problem, and that's as follows. The Medrash says, B'nai Yisasfer quotes it at the beginning of the Sefer B'nai Yisasfer, not by author. He quotes it, Mamash, at the beginning of the Sefer, and you'll see how it ties in. If you've learned Sefer B'nai Yisasfer at all, I understand how it ties into the whole Sefer. He quotes a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash, I think it's a Tanchuma. The Medrash said, I didn't have B'nai Yisasfer in my office, I couldn't get a chance to look it up. I'm pretty sure he quotes a Medrash Tanchuma. It's a Medrash, definitely a Medrash. I think it's a Medrash Tanchuma. That says, why do the Jewish people daven and they're not answered? So often we daven and we feel like our tefillos aren't being answered. Why is that so? Says the Medrash, Lefisha ainam ispalin b'shem, because they don't daven with the shame. They don't daven with the name of Hashem. What does it mean to not daven with the name of Hashem? So B'nai Yisasfer explains. Hashem's name, Hashem's most basic name, Yud, He, Vav, and He, can be arranged 12 different ways. I can take those letters and rearrange them in 12 different ways. Every month has a shame of Hashem that's assigned to that month. And therefore, says the B'nai Yisasfer, and he spends time explaining each of the Shemos by each of the months, the B'nai Yisasfer says, if you want to daven and have your tefillos answered, you have to be mechave in the Shem. So in the month of Nisan, when you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, not only am I thinking the kavanas that are presented by the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Hei, not only am I thinking that Hashem is the Adon HaKol, and Ha Yehovah V'yiyah, which is the basic kavanah we're supposed to try to have when we say Hashem's name, may not be ma'akev in all places. Certainly by Shema, we have to try to have that kavanah in order to fulfill our obligation of Shema. We say Hashem, Adon. We pronounce it Adon, Adon Akol. It's written Yod Heh Vav Heh, as we think Ha Yehovah V'yiyah. We try to think about Hashem in that way. But in addition to that, it says B'nai Yisasfer, to be mechavein the shame means to picture in my mind the arrangement of the letters as corresponding to that particular month. Okay, B'nai Yisasfer said, if you're seeing your tefillos aren't being answered, maybe try this, something new to try. So in the month of Nisan, think about the letters, Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. When you say Baruch Ata Ado, you picture Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey. When you're in the month of Tammuz, you picture Hashem's name backwards, because that's the name of Hashem for the month of Tammuz. Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. When you're in Chodesh Adar, you should picture Hey, Hey, Yud, Vav. Okay, and if you want to see these things, you open up a Nusach Svar and Siddur, usually by Nusach of Rosh Chodesh, they have a little chart, and it shows you the shame of Hashem for each month, both according to Yudke Vavke, and the shame Eke, Aleph Hey, Yud and Hey. And each month has a name, and its Merum is in a Pasuk, and this is what B'nai Yisasfer is always talking about in the Sefer, so he introduces us to this Medrash, that if your tefillahs are not being answered, it's because you're not davening B'Shem. It's because you're not channeling your tefillah through a particular shame of Hashem for that month. Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey can be rearranged 12 different ways. Nu Rabosai. So what do you do in other Sheni? What do you do in other Sheni? If Hashem, Dein Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei only has 12 different permutations, so what's a Jew supposed to do? We don't daven. We don't daven in other Sheni. There's a lot of Sfarim talk about the Inyan of tefillah being a Choshev Inyan on Purim. So how do you daven in other Sheni? It seems to be a very significant problem. How do we connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu in other Sheni? B'nai Yisasfer brings that every month has a mazel. Every month has a body part. Every month has a corresponding action. Okay, so some of those things are not limited to 12. What about Shevet? Every month has a Shevet. So what Shevet corresponds to other Sheni? If there are only 12 Shvatim. So where does other Sheni kind of fit into the bigger picture of Judaism? It doesn't have a corresponding Shevet. It doesn't seem to have a corresponding Shevet. How are we going to work this out? So what month, what Shevet actually do the Sfarim bring is the Shevet for the month of Adar. Okay, so a few answers on the floor. What'd you say? We have Yosef over here. Naftali over there. Naftali.
Naftali.
Yosef. So Yosef and Naftali, those are our main votes. So there are three basic ways in the Sfarim HaKadoshim as to how to arrange the Shvatim and the corresponding months. One approach is to do them by age order, which means that the 12th month, Chodesh Adar, corresponds to Binyamin, the youngest of the Shvatim. If you want to see some of the connections between Chodesh Adar and Binyamin, you can look at Rav Wolfson's Emunas Yitecha on this week's Parsha, Parshas Pekudei, on page 312 and 313. Okay, that's one approach. A second approach is to do it according to the Golem, the way that the Jews camped in the Midbar. That's how the Arizal does it. Another Sifrei Kabbalah, the Hasidus, arrange it. If you do it according to the Golem, if you arrange it according to the Golem, so, who was the last group traveling? Degel Machane Don, right? Which is Don, Asher, Naphtali. So that's why many of you said Naphtali, right? Rav Shor has many pages at the beginning of the Halakha Chalibah of Purim about the connection between Adar and Naphtali. There's a lot to say about that as well. One of the interesting ways, a very compelling way to do it, is what Kedushas Levi brings in source number 7, is to arrange them according to the names as they appear at the beginning of Sefer Shemos. And Yosef is mentioned last there. Now, why would I be so inclined to say that Yosef corresponds to Adar? Some of you said that. Why would that be? It says Kedushas Levi in the middle of the first line, source number 7, V'chodesh Adar hu neged Yosef, u'mimenu yaktu beis shvatim Ephraim and Manasseh, just like Yosef splits into two, Ephraim and Manasseh, l'kach chodesh Adar mu'ubar, so too, chodesh Adar is the only month that splits into two. So the Shema that splits into two should correspond to the month that splits into two. It's kvaldik. V'yesh lefam shnei chodeshim Adar. V'lachein Adar, the mazal of Adar is dogim, is fish. Shu bechinas Yosef, v'yidgu l'rov v'kerav ha'aretz. Zaro shel Yosef, nimshal adag. Ma adagim shebiyah mechusim, kach zaro shel Yosef. Right? Yosef has a certain shmira from Arasayin. Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Ale Ayin. The Gemara Darshan's Ole Ayin. If you take the word dog, says Kedushas Levi, then ahafachu, the whole nature of the month, dog becomes God. God means mazel. That's why God was named mazel. It's a sign of good mazel. And Chodesh Adar certainly is a man of good mazel. If you have a court case, you should take Gentile to court in the month of Adar. It's a good zman for Klal Yisrael. And just like Yosef has Ephraim and Menashe, two children with two very different names, Menashe being a lashon of trouble, Ephraim being a lashon of pruervu, good things, expansion, so too, you could say that the 2 months correspond to Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe, again, being the beginning of Adar when the Jewish people are in significant trouble, and Ephraim being the later part of Adar where things get good. Okay, so this is a very compelling reason to follow the order of the names as presented at the beginning of Sefer Shemos. But if we had to pick another Shevet that's split into two, what else could we suggest? So let's go back to what the Arizal said. The Arizal said, and this seems to be the main way of arranging the months, to arrange the months according to the Degalim, which again, according to what we said, and that's why Rav Shor spent the most time writing about this topic, is to say that Chodesh Adar corresponds to Naphtali. Right, the last three Shvatim, the last 3 months, Teves, Shvat, Adar, correspond to Don, Asher, Naphtali. So what about Adar Sheni? Ah. So what do we know about Shevet Don, my friends? What do we know about Shevet Don? Shevet Don is described in Parshas Baaloscha as the Ma'aseh v'l'chol ha'machnos. Ma'aseh v'l'chol ha'machnos, the one who gathers in the camp, which means that even though the real location of Shevet Don is in the 10th slot, Dan, Asher, Naphtali. But Dan spilled over. Rashi says in Parshas Baaloscha, they were a very large shevet. Rashi in source number 8, quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, Lefisha Yashiv Shol Shal Dan, Meruba Ba'achlusin. Dan was a very large, very populous shevet. Hayin Hosea Ba'achrona. They used to travel in the back. And anyone who would lose something, Shevet Dan would pick up the lost things. Pick up the lost things. Whether it was lost items or lost souls, Shevet Dan was responsible for gathering in that which was left behind. And now it's time for us to start smiling more. And let's wake ourselves up if we're feeling a little tired, because you don't want to miss this. I don't think you want to miss this. Shevet Dan travels in the back. Shevet Dan, therefore, takes on the 13th spot. Not only do they take the 10th spot in front of Asher and Naphtali, but they take the 13th spot, which means that Adar Sheni, the Ikar Purim, corresponds to Shevet Dan. Which brings the following question. Do we find that there's a strong link? Do we see historically that there was a relationship, maybe a harmful relationship, between Amalek and Shevet Dan? And the answer is, in fact, we find a very, very strong link between Amalek and Shevet Dan. Pasuk tells us in Parshas Kisetzei, Zachor es asher asal lecha Amalek b'derech b'seischem Mitzrayim. Don't ever forget what Amalek tried to do to you. At a time when the Jewish people were emerging, they were becoming a nation. They were strong. Asher karach b'derech. They happened upon you on the way. V'yizonei b'chon. They struck at you. Who did they strike at particularly? Kol necha shalom acharecha. They struck the ones who were weak. Acharecha. The ones who were in the back. V'ata ayefe ageya. The Jewish people. Those individuals who were worn and tired. Amalek could care less. V'lo yare elokim. So who does Amalek attack? Who are the Nechashalim? Who are the Nechashalim, the weaklings in the back of the camp? Medrash Tanchuma brings three opinions, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Nechemya, but the majority opinion is the Shita of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan Amri, source number 10, where it's bolded. Shevet Dan, Shepaltu Ha'anan Hayukulam Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Who are the Nechashalim Achlerecha? Who are the ones who are weak? Shenemar Ba'ata Yefe Ageyev Lo Yare Elokim. Who's the Lo Yare Elokim? Not that Amalek had the chutzpah that Amalek was Lo Yare Elokim. There were Jews who were Lo Yare Elokim. There were Jews who were weak. Why were they weak? Why weren't they protected? They weren't protected because, says the Medrash Tanchuma, they got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod. Chutz L'machaneh. Not part of the regular Seder of things. The same way that other Sheni doesn't seem to fit the regular Seder of things. Baal Turah brings a remez to this idea. He says, very strong, beautiful remez, Parshas Kisetzei, Kol anecha sholem acharecha b'gematria zal yeshivto shel dan. Shevet dan. Shevet dan is support and remez to the Rabbanan Shita that Shevet dan are the necha sholem that Amalek was specifically targeting. Okay. There's a theme throughout Purim Torah of the number 54. For some reason, the number 54 is a recurring number when we talk about Purim and Megillas Esther. The Vilna Gaon writes, a person should be careful. Make sure that the text of your Al HaNisim has 54 words. The Gra says, make sure that your Al HaNisim includes the words Vashevosa lo gimulo al rosho, because that will ensure that the text, right, that we add to the Tefillah will have in fact 54 words. Okay, 54 words. The Hakpata, the Vilna Gaon says. He wants to have 54 words. Why does he want to have 54 words? So if you look in the Gra in Mishlei, it's not on the page in front of you, it's in Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Chaf Hei, at the very end. The Pasuk's, beginning of the Pasuk is, Beis Geim Yisach Hashem. Beis Geim, the haughty one. Beis Geim, the house of the haughty one. Who's the haughty one? Who's the haughty one? Amalek is the haughty one. Why is Amalek the haughty one? Amalek is Gematria. Amalek, okay, so Avi says that Amalek in Mispar Katan is 15, Gematria Gaiva. One of the Talmidim of the Chedush Arim brings that in one of his Sfarim called the Tiferes Svi. Very good. Amalek in Mispar Katan is Gematria Gaiva. You know what Mispar Katan is, right? Ayin, which is 70, becomes 7. And Mem, which is 40, becomes 4. And Lam, which is 30, becomes 3. And Kuf, which is 100, becomes 1. You bring it down to the ones column. So Amalek in Mispar Katan is Gaiva, but Amalek, the regular way, Amalek is 240, is Gematria Ram. V'ram levavcha v'shachachta s'shem elokecha. Haughtiness, Ram, a person who holds himself to a higher standard, right? Not in a positive sense. How many times does Haman's name appear in Megillas Esther? Exactly 54 times. 54 times. The Vilna Gaon says on that pasuk again in Mishlei, Tesvav Chafei, Beit Geim Yisach Hashem, Beit Geim, the house of the haughty. The house of the haughty. What's the gematria of Geim? Gimel Aleph Yud Mem? 54. Who's Beis Geim? Haman, whose name appears 54 times in Megillas Esther. Then the Vilna Gaon says, but who's the Beis Geim? The Beis Geim is the family of Haman. So he says, let's look at the 10 sons of Haman. You look at the names of the 10 sons of Haman, there are exactly 54 letters in the names of the 10 sons of Haman. Beis Geim, says the Vilna Gaon, make sure that your text of Al HaNisim says, Vashevoso lo gimulo al rosho. Look at the pasuk in Tehillim. Hinasei shofet haaretz, Hashev gimul al Geim. Hashem, make sure that the Geim, Gematria 54, make sure the haughty ones get what they deserve. Amalek who has such audacity, Rashis Goyim Amalek, the chutzpah to attack Klal Yisrael at the greatest time in their history. When the Gemara darshes, Memuchan is a code name for Haman. What does the Gemara say? Memuchan is the last of the advisors listed. And yet what? He's the first one to respond, what to do with Vashti. What do you see from here? A hedyot, a foolish person, is kofetz l'rosh. He jumps ahead, he puts himself first. It's gaiva, it's the gaiva of Amalek. Heshev gemul al geim. Vashevosalo gemul al roshos is the Vilna Gaon. That's the lashon of the tefillah of the Al HaNisim. I once heard someone told me, B'shem Rav Brevda, Rabbi Bravda once said, why is it? So funny, they come to Haman, read the Megillah, they come to Haman, and they say to Haman, Haman, you should just know that Mordechai HaYehudi is refusing to bow down to you. Why didn't Haman know that? So Rabbi Bravda once wanted to say, you know why Haman didn't know that? He was so full of himself, he walked out with his head held up so high, he couldn't even dream that there would be someone who had the chutzpah to not bow down to Haman. So they came and they said to him, why isn't Mordechai bowing? I said, what do you mean, Mordechai's not bowing? They said, lower your head a little bit. Right? Look around. You'll see there's a Jew who's refusing to bow down to him. That was the haughtiness of Haman. What's with all these 54s? Why is the Gra so busy with 54? And there's so many more Ramazim to 54. Why 54? 54, 54. Because 54 is Matri Adan. Shev Adan. Because the whole Hisnagdus of Amalek, the whole world of Haman, is rooted in targeting the whole Indian of Shev Adan. Baal Turim brings in Bamidbar, where it again describes the various travels of the camp of Klal Yisrael. There's only two places. There's only two places in Tanakh that we find the word La'acharona. Shnayim b'misora, says the Baal Turim. La'acharona Yisau. In Bamidbar Perek Beis Pasuk Lamed Aleph, where it says about Shev Adan, La'acharona Yisau. Where's the second example? In Koheles. What does it say in Koheles? Lo yiyeh lahem zikaron. Timcha es zecher Amalek. It's a battle of sorts between Amalek, who declares themselves the first, even though really they're the last. Racious Goyim Amalek, they think they're the ones to always jump out in front. But really, as the end of the Pasuk says over there in Parshas Balak, the Achariso, but their end, Adeovid. They have no future. That's why they hate Amalek. And that's why they hate Shev Adan so much. Because even the Jew who's kicked out of Chutz L'Machane, who's kicked out of the Anan Yaakov, even the Jew who's schlepping behind, even the Jew who's in last place, has a better chance of making it than Amalek, who in their own mind is convinced that they're in first place. Rashis Goyim Amalek. That's the audacity of Amalek. And therefore, the only two places you find the word La'acharona, the true Acharon, is again the Acharon of Amalek, Achariso Ade Oved. Or like it says here again in this Pasuk in Koheles, that the zikaron of those who come la'acharona should be forgotten, they won't be remembered. Says the Baal Turim, Sha'amalek ha'yemisarius Shev Adan ba'avon pesel micha shimah. That Shev Adan was traveling, as described by the Medrash. Why was Shev Adan kicked out of the Medrash? Told us earlier, they got kicked out for Avodah Zarah. What was their Avodah Zarah? They had pesel micha. Can you imagine? Can you imagine coming out of Mitzrayim with Avodah Zarah? They crossed the Yam Suf with Avodah Zarah in their hands. Can you imagine such a thing? We'll see more about that in a moment. But can you imagine such a thing? One of my favorite midrashim, just because it's so it's like the most tragic midrash. I say it over every year on Tisha B'Av. I hope I'll never have to say it over again. But there's a midrash, I believe it's in Parshas Re'eh. Midrash on Chumah in Parshas Re'eh. It's explaining, L'cha Hashem atztaka v'lanu boshes apanim. And one of the keynotes of Tisha B'Av begins that way, so that's where I usually, if I have a chance to speak on Tisha B'Av, I try to share this midrash, because it's such a sad midrash. It goes through all the times in Jewish history, or not all the times, there's plenty more times, unfortunately, but some of the major times in Jewish history where Hashem did something amazing for us, and we literally slapped the Kodesh Baruch in the face. L'mashal, the man fell, Klal Yisrael made Cheda Egel, and they fed the Egel the man. L'cha Hashem atztaka v'lanu boshes apanim. Hashem split the sea for you after doing a year of miracles, and you're smuggling pesel micha in your coats. L'cha Hashem atztaka v'lanu boshes apanim. Examples of just the ultimate disrespect, very Amalek-like, to have that chutzpah to such a degree, such a chutzpah. So says the Baal HaTurim, Amalek attacks the Achrona, attacks Amalek, the Achrona, attacks Davka Shev Adan, which is awesome. La'acharona Yisau. And he brings the remez. Yihyeh lahem zikaron. Like the pasuk here in Kohalis is saying. Lo yihyeh lahem zikaron. Says Baal HaTurim. Yihyeh lahem zikaron is sofei tevos haman. Shagam hu bikesh la'avad zikaron. Because exactly what Amalek was doing then is exactly what Amalek is doing in the Purim story. The same Haman who's targeting the weaklings, who wants to dafka target the weakling. We see Haman does this. We see that Amalek does this. Where does Amalek come from? Who is Amalek the person? He's an einikel of Esav. And what does Esav try to do? What does Amalek try to do? How does Yaakov part ways from Esav? when he says we can't travel together, listen, I have women, I have children, you know, we're a slow group, right? We're a slow group. We have a shaved done aspect to ourselves. We have some weaklings. We can't travel together. And he convinces Esav to part ways with him, but Esav wants to come back. Amalek Dafka wants to target. I want to travel with you because you're weak. I want to target the Taf V'Nashim. Says the Baal HaTurim in Parshas Vayishlach, Hatileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Says Baal HaTurim, Hatileni na miyad is Rosh Tevos Haman. Save me from Haman. Ramez lahaman sheyavo lahakos eim albanim kedichsev taf v'nashim. Dafka the weaklings. Always targeting the weakest link. But the tragedy of Amalek is that the best of Amalek doesn't hold the candle to the weakest of Klal Yisrael. That's what bothers them so much. Because they know the Metzias. The Metzias is achariso adei oved. They don't have a future. They're always trying to get ahead because they know at the end they're just going to slip off into nothingness. They're going to disappear from the face of the earth. Hatileni na miyad. What's the gematria of the word miyad? Hatileni na miyad. 54. Because it's always coming back to Shevetan. It's always Amalek trying to target Shevetan. Achriso adei oved. And this has a lot to do with us, my friends, because we are Shevetan. Chodesh Adar, the Prat Adar Sheni, being the end of the calendar year, corresponds to the Jews who live at the end of time, the Ikvas of the Mashiach. The Jews in the Ikvas of the Mashiach, Ayin in the Svarim of Rav Wolfson, Ayin in Rav Sadok, the Neshamos that we have, it's not saying that physically every one of us is physically a descendant of Dan, some of us know for a fact, because we're Kohanim or Leviim. We know that physically we're not a descendant of Dan. But Be'etzem, our Neshamos, are rooted in the world of Shevet Dan. The Ikvas of the Mashiach, the end of time, corresponding to the end of the calendar. And yet, it's Dafka, these weak Jews, who are going to get rid of Amalek once and for all and bring the Gula Shleima. That's the call. That's what we have to believe about ourselves. To believe that the Amalek that tries to destroy us in that way, to believe that Achariso Ade Oved. I was just thinking as I was putting the finishing touches on this year, the pasuk that, again, that Bilam says prophetically, Rashis Gaim Amalek. They try to present themselves as the Rashis Gaim, the best. The first of the nations. But Achriso Adeo at the end is that they're going to be finished off. Who's going to be the ones to bring them to a state of Oved with an Aleph to finish them off, to destroy them? Ade Oved. Ade is Rosh Tevos, Ikvas of the Mashiach Yidin. Ikvas of the Mashiach Yidin. The Yehudim and the Ikvas of the Mashiach. What's the definition of a Yehudi? The Gemara in Megillah, you think I'm making late tatters. The definition of a Yehudi, says the Gemara in Megillah, is a person who's not so from. His only fromkeit is that he rejects the Avodah Zarah. That's it, that's where we're holding. Chedush Arim says, Halavai, we should make it to Mashiach with just Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. Halavai, we can have that. So we're holding on the level of Yehudim. La Yehudim Haisa'ora. It doesn't say La Yisraelim. It doesn't say Le B'nei Yishurim. Some of the more lofty names of Klal Yisrael. La Yehudim. So Hashem says the lowest Jews. La Yehudim Haisa'ora. Ade Oved. Ikvas of the Mashiach Yehudim. Pashut Jews are going to bring down Amalek. Achriso Ade Oved. Pashut Jews. Oh, and let me just show you how scary it gets. Because again, when Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael have a portion of themselves, like a Shevet Dan, that gets kicked out of the Anani HaKavod, that's meramis to the fact that we were nearly kicked out of Klal Yisrael. The same way that Jews today, you have so many Jews who are just giving up on Klal Yisrael. They've given up. There's no dreams for Mashiach. They've given up on themselves. The spiritual holocaust that's taking place, again, we're moving in opposite directions. You have Jews, unbelievable Baal Tshuva movement, people coming back. And you have so many other Jews like this, just chucking everything. The percentage. Someone has to do a study. I'm going to say this even on tape. I'm going to say it now. Because until we get serious about it, it's not going to change. Someone has to do a study of modern Orthodox high schools and get a sense of how many of their graduates identify as being Orthodox Jews 5 years out of high school. The numbers are terrifying. I personally think the numbers are terrifying, and I don't think people are talking about it enough. So I'll say it here. And someone should do that. We should find out. What percentage of schools we're trying to create Orthodox Jews. What percentage of them are staying from, are marrying from, our Shomer Shabbos 5 years out? All the encouraging of encourage everyone to get into fancy secular colleges. What are the chances of people staying from in a secular college? Let's get some real numbers. Instead of walking around all day, you know, trying to brag, oh, look, our graduates go to this university and that university. They should all be coming to Yeshiva University. I'm going to plug for YM. Right? I'm saying, what's going on? People are throwing it off. And you can have a reality that in the Ikvas of the Mashiach, just like Shevet Dan got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod, was cut off from Klal Yisrael, you can have a mass, spiritual holocaust of people getting kicked out or choosing to to drop out of Klal Yisrael. Let me just show you how far this went, in fact. When they crossed the Yam, again, that moment that the Baal HaTurim was describing, where they were smuggling the Avodah Zarah in their coats, says the Pasuk in Source 15, Vayavo B'nei Yisrael B'soch Hayam B'yabasha. B'nei Yisrael, the real Jews, entered into the water, and they were on dry land. V'amayim Lahem Choma Miminam U'mismolam. Now you'll notice the word Choma, and you may recognize that this pasuk actually appears twice over there. In one place it's spelled choma with a vav. In one place it's spelled chaser, as if it says chema. As if it says chema, which means wrath. What's the pshat? Explains the Vilna Gaon. Let's turn to the final page. Source 16. It says the Gra in the Kol Eliyahu. A very, very scary and terrifying thing. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'sochayam v'yabasho v'amayim lehem choma. Hidekan k'siv choma male. The first time it appears, choma, it's written male. With a vav. U'lahalan b'pasachav tes k'siv u'b'nei Yisrael halchu b'yabasho b'sochayam v'amayim lehem chema. Even though it's pronounced choma, it's spelled chema. What was the wrath by the sea? V'yishalom baratam. V'yishom di'isa shepesol micha avar imahem b'yam. Klal Yisrael crossed through the Yam, and there was a portion of them, a significant portion, a large portion. Shevadan that was Marbe Be'ochlusin. They had a large population. A large portion of Klal Yisrael was involved in Avodah Zarah B'shas Kriyas Yam, so it's totally unfathomable. It shows you what the lure of Avodah Zarah must have been once upon a time, that a person could do something so irrational. We would never do that. The Maisa, our neshamas are from Shevadan, so the Maisa we did do. Dizah Shepesel Micha Avar Imam Bayam. Like it says in Zechariah, Va'avar Bayam Tzara. They crossed through the Yam Tzara. The Yam Tzara means it was a treacherous sea. But Tzara, it's a play on words. A Tzara, in the context of like Yevamos, right, means a co-wife. That we have Hashem, and we took another wife. They said, we're not ready to follow Hashem entirely. We have other gods. We listen to El Acher. We don't listen to Hashem Echad. For those who heard the Dalet Erasher. Ubibnei Dan Hayamicha. Shahayelo Tachas Kenafava Pesel. And Shevet Dan were Dafka the ones who had this pesel amongst them. V'yadua Shevet Dan Halach Bachrona. Shenemar V'amaasif HaHolech Bachrona. Perish Rashi. Zeh Shevet Dan Sholchim Bachrona. V'yadua Shekasher Bo'u HaMitchim B'yam Mitzad Zeh. When the Mitchim entered the water on one side, Adayin HaYisrael B'yam. The Jews were still in the water. We hadn't emerged before the Mitzvah came in. And now we have a very beautiful, sweet, and clear reading of the Pasuk, but a very tragic consequence. Look what he says. The first Pasuk that says, Vayava'u b'nei Yisrael b'sochayam b'yabasha, is talking about who? It's talking about the rest of Klal Yisrael. The rest of Klal Yisrael. Even Shevet Dan was in that first, the 10th slot also, right? I mean, there were members of Shevet Dan that were better. But that back portion of Shevet Dan, the 13th slot, Shai Yisrael hayu b'sochayam, uvenei Dan ha'ochem achareim, hayu adayin b'yabasha. What does the Pasuk say? B'nei Yisrael were b'sochayam, b'yabasha. There were some who were still on the dry land. Shevet Dan had not yet entered the water. And therefore, without Shevet Dan in the water, v'amayim lehem choma, malei. Hashem says, of course I'm happy to protect you. There's no kitrug. There's no reason not to protect you. My beloved children.
When
the first side emerged from the water, and now Shevet Dan entered the water, Shevet Dan entered that area, they entered the Yavasha, with Pesel Micha by their side. At that point, it wasn't so pashit that Shevet Dan was going to make it out of the waters. What the Gra is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a havamina, the same way the water is going to come crashing down on the Mitzrim, when everyone else from Klal Yisrael is out, and the only people left in the water are Shevet Dan and the Mitzrim, the Mayim was standing, but it was a chema, it was a wrath. Hashem had to work really hard to not bring the waters down on Shevet Dan. Because Hashem says, Why should I not? And this is the tine of the Gemara. Halalo of the Avodah Zarah, halalo of the Avodah Zarah. Why should they be spared? It's talk a very fair and reasonable question. Such an egregious sin. How can Hashem overlook such a thing? V'zeh sha'amur u'b'nei Yisrael halchu b'yabasha. Hu ha'katzei ha'rishon me'ashvatim shekfar hayu b'yabasha. V'achronim, they were b'so chayam. Az ha'mayim lehem chema. Malei chema v'kas mirov ha'kitrim. Because Baruch was so angry. Hashem was so ready to cut them off. The same way they were kicked out of the Ananei HaKavod. We see that even after they crossed, they didn't really make it. They made it through the waters. But in the end, the Kodesh Baruch Hu kicks them out. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the end of his life, when Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to sum up his major message to Klal Yisrael, and he warns of the dangers of Avodah Zarah. Look how he expresses himself in Parshas Nisavim. Pan yesh v'chem ish, o isha, o mishpacha, o shevet. Maybe there will be a shevet amongst you. An individual, a family, or even an entire shevet. Asher lavavo pone hayom me'im Hashem Elokeinu. Lalechas lavodas Elohei ha'goyim ha'im. Pan yesh v'chem shoresh pore rosh v'la'ana. Maybe there's going to be someone amongst you that has some evil sprouting within. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's going to be the punishment of such a group? Where it's bolded in Pasachaf, v'hivdilu Hashem l'ra. They're going to be set aside l'ra. They're not going to be part of the normal order of things. Mikol shifte Yisrael. K'chol olos habris haksuva b'sefer HaTorah zeh. And they're going to receive all the curses that you just read about, a parsha earlier in Parshas Kisavah. There's a sefer called the Birchas Yeshurin from the previous Skolei Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik L'Kadosh L'Vracha. It was a massive Talmud Chacham, a Nister, a person who was an Emes de Gabal Mofis. There's unbelievable real stories about it. As a person who passed away not that long ago, it was about 30 years ago. He lived in Borough Park. He survived at the hands of the Nazis. An unbelievable story how he got out of Europe. Amazing, amazing miracles. So he wrote a sefer called Birchas Yeshurun. In the Birchas Yeshurun, he goes through the Tochacha, line by line, both in Bechukosai and in Kisavo, and he explains every klal of the Tochacha as a bracha. It's an amazing, amazing sefer. You have to see this sefer. It's an amazing thing. But he points out in the Birchas Yeshurun and Parshas Kisavo, he says, how many psukim of Tochacha are there in Parshas Kisavo? 54. There are 54 psukim of Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo. And he darshans it, he says, we say Shmona Esrei 3 times a day, 3 times 18, 54. I want to say Pashim. I want to say 54 curses in Kisavo, because who's the one who's really being mekabel that curse? Who is the Kodesh Baruch Hu so angry with? It's Dafka Shevet Dan, B'Gematria 54. Hashem said, I'm tired of this. I'm not gonna hang around anymore. You're not gonna make it. You're not gonna make it. Which brings us to the ultimate paradox, because here we are hanging around trying to learn, trying to be connected, trying to bring the Mashiach, believing that the Ikvus of the Mashiach somehow has a koach of Adei Achriso Oved, Achriso Adei Oved, to destroy Amalek, to bring the Geula. Chafetz Chaim didn't bring Mashiach. He did things to advance the coming of Mashiach, but he didn't bring it. The Baal Shem Tov didn't bring it, the Gra didn't bring it, the Tanaim and Amoraim didn't bring it, so here we are, that's it. We have to fantasize about this ridiculous, you know, possibility of us bringing Mashiach. It seems very unrealistic. It seems that Bechlau, we're barely even Jewish. We're cut off, we're Shevet Dan, we're Chutz L'Machane. And yet the reality is that Klal Yisrael, Dafka in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, Dafka in Adar Sheni, a month that doesn't even seem to have a Shem Hashem connected to it, there's Dafka an unbelievable opportunity to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's wrap things up. What's the answer to our question? What is the Shem Hashem for the month of Adar Sheni? Seems to be with that. There's no connection to Hashem. There's only 12 ways to arrange Hashem's name. So if you look in the Siddur, and again, this is really based on earlier Svarim, you look in the Siddur, Rav Shabtai, which is one of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, Rav Shabtai Rashkov, but again, it's brought in many, many different Svarim. He talks about this Indian. If you just open an article Siddur to Musaf Rosh Chodesh, or Nusach Svar Siddur, I'll read you what it says here. Uva Adar Sheni, Yechavein bechlalos kulam yachad kol yudbe serufe havaya ve'eka. The 13th month is not without a name of Hashem. The 13th month has the biggest name of Hashem. The biggest name of Hashem. It takes all of the shemos of Hashem and it combines them into one super name of Hashem. Something beyond the detailed connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Superficially you might look at it and say there's no connection to Hashem. No, the opposite. There's no prat connection to Hashem. Because you're able to connect to Hashem in the biggest and broadest way. That's the paradox of the Ikvus of the Mashiach. A lowly Jew seems to be so disconnected, and yet you can read, like Rav Tzadok brings in Parshas Vayechi in the name of Simcha Bunim, that while the Doros get lower and lower and lower, the Nekuda Pnimis gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Mamash Bina Hafachu. Moving in opposite directions. You have intermarriage like never before, you have people returning to Yiddishkeit. From a place of being so, Miktzei Hashemayim, Yisham Yikachecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Lo Yidach Mimenu Nidach, Kadosh Baruch Hu gathering in some Jews who have strayed so far, pulling everything, moving in this crazy Vina Hafachu, everyone moving in opposite directions. Some people turning to Hashem Echad, some people turning to El Acher. Mamish opposite directions. The Shem Hashem for the month of Adar Sheni is the Shem Kolelis. The Shem that doesn't seem to even appear to be a Shem. The all encompassing name. Moshe Rabbeinu is criticized in the Medrash and in the Zohar. They had a tie on Moshe Rabbeinu, and they thought, Klal Yisrael complained that Moshe got rich. He stole from the Mishkan. So Moshe set out this week's parsha to make a major calculation to make sure that everything is accounted for. And he says, yes, this money was spent on this, this money was spent on this. All the money was cheshvened out very precisely. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, hold on 1 second. He couldn't figure out 1,775 shkalim. He couldn't figure out what he spent it on. He knew he didn't have the money. He knew he put it into the Mishkan, but he couldn't, the books weren't adding up. He couldn't remember. Until it was revealed to him, it was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, that which you forgot, was actually something very chashuv. What was spent? What were those 1,775 shkalim spent on? The vave amudim. The hooks. The little vavim, the little hooks, to hold together the pillars of the Mishkan. The vave amudim. The hooks of the Mishkan. That's what Moshe was told. The Svarim explained to Pnimius HaTorah, what does it mean? He forgot the vavim. What does it mean he forgot the vavim? Little hooks. The mamash hold together the whole Mishkan. That tie the whole thing together. The neshama kolelis. The shem Hashem that's kolel all the other shemos. The Svarim explained, the letter vav can be spelled different ways. Sometimes we spell it kipshuto, vav vav. Vav vav is 12, matria 12. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I only see 12, something's missing. But there's another way to spell vav, the Svarim say. The other way to spell vav is vav aleph vav. That there's an aleph hidden between the two vavs. Vav Aleph Vav is Gematria 13. Moshe says, I couldn't remember what happened to those little hooks, those little Jews at the end of time. Until the Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed to him that no, there's an Aleph contained within. Now you understand what the Moray Naim is really talking about when he says, Adar. The whole Chodesh, Adar is that Aleph Dar. That the Aleph, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu should dwell within you. But Aleph Dar means that there's an Aleph dwelling within. Within the two Vavs. Within the two Vavs of Gematria 12. Right? Vav Aleph Vav. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the 13th Shevet actually does matter. These Jews, these Shevet Dan Jews actually can accomplish something. Not are they detached from having a mazel, but they're above mazel. Ein mazel yisol, they're above, they're the highest madrigal. That's the paradox of the times that we're living. We're the lowest Jews, and at the same time we have to believe with all of our hearts that we're going to bring the Gula Shlem. And now we can answer the question that we began this year with. Why is it, as we bring in this Shabbos, Chodesh Adar Sheni, we read Parshas Pekudei. Why is it that there's no simon for the month, for the Parsha of Pekudei? Why is it that the 92 Pesukim of Pekudei seem to be forgotten? Let's read a piece from the Sefer Tomchei Tmimah on Shas. Nishalti Miravanim Gedolim Mod, Mod Chashuvim. I spoke to very great rabbis to try to solve this question. Maduo lo simanu sukuma psukim de Parshas Pekudei, ko basof kol parshas. This whole shiur was really just so I could say over one little vart, which is based on this piece in Tomchei Tmimah on Shas. Look what he says here. He says, I asked a lot of rabbis trying to figure out, great people, gedolim v'chashuvim, why is it that Parshas Pekudei is left without a simon? V'i'ef shalomar d'zeicholm l'das v'yasakum haklali, d'sei v'shavos. Maybe you'll say, open up Mikvah Gedolim v'chashuvim. It says there are 1,209 psukim in all shavos, so just calculate it yourself. He says, that's not a fair answer. D'alo b'chol parsha achrona me'asar ma'achirim. By all the other four books of the Torah, we could say the same svara, and yet it tells you, it gives you a simon for Parshas Vayechi. It gives you a simon for the end of Vayikra B'chukotai. It gives you a simon for Parshas Maaseh and Parshas Vezos HaBracha. Avshar gam behem yichol l'das, you can add it up based on the total number of psukim in that sefer. Mikol maku kasu atzlam gam b'schum ha'prati v'gam b'schum ha'klali. It tells you both. Ah, Nus, what do? When no one can help you. When your mom is stuck, you have a difficult shaila. Unfortunately, Bizman is there. We don't have the opportunity the way that they once did. Because I didn't know what to do with myself. I really wanted to solve this question. I needed an Eitzah. It was bothering me. I knew there was a secret contained here. And he set out to find someone to answer his question. Amarti Lahem, I'm going to go ask the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Shef Nevezeh Lekvod Kedushas Anmur Atzadik Vagona Eloki Amiti Rav Menachem Mendel, once upon a time Shlita, now Zatzal, as you see on the page in front of you, Shneerson, Milubavitch, Vine Ma'ana Kodsho B'michtav. He responded as follows. Now you have to understand, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right, before he began Lubavitcher Rebbe, was the head of the publishing house, right, of Kahas, Kahut. He was the head of Lubavitch Publishing. So he knew a lot about publishing. He knew a lot about manuscripts. He knew things about Svarim, old Svarim. He's a good person to ask this question to, besides being the tzaddik of the generation in his time. So he answered as follows. Madua lo simanu, or simnu, b'sof parshas Pekudei sukum psukei asidro. Hine yesh l'chapis b'tfusim arishonim. You need to find old editions and you'll find the answer to your question. The fact that Parshas Pekudei seems to not be counted is a mistake. Parshas Pekudei does deserve to be counted. Look what he says. V'nimshach adavar gamkein etzal shara matfisim shebo achra. Someone made a mistake. Someone overlooked it. And over time, it became mainstream. What happened? Baruch Rebbe says, if you go back to old versions, you'll find the following. V'ulai efshar shaya kosuf. You know what was written at the end of Parshas Pekudei? B'li kol siman. B'li kol siman. There is no siman. So what do people do? So he said, why do I have to waste ink? The publishers got cheap. They said, why do I have to waste ink writing that there's no siman for Pekudei? The simanim are pretty random. Right? Why they couldn't figure one out for Pekudei? For the 92 Pesukim of Pekudei would be a good question. But apparently, no, whoever made up these simanim, however far back, right, from Kanbonim, we have these simanim, wherever they begin. Okay, apparently they couldn't figure something out. So instead they wrote B'li kol siman. There's no siman for Pekudei. Pekudei doesn't count. There's no cheshvin by Pekudei. But says the Baruch Rebbe, no. What's the gematria of B'li Kol? B'li Kol is gematria 92. B'li Kol was the siman. But the publishers got cheap and they stopped writing the siman. They thought B'li Kol siman, there is no siman. The B'li Kol is the siman. And someone came along and messed it up and eventually it became ingrained. Why, Dafka, as we bring in Chodesh Adar, do we have an end Sefer Shemos? The Sefer of Galus and Geula, as the Ramban refers to it. Why do we end off with a Parsha? Why do we have a Siman that's there and not there at the same time? That B'li Kol Siman, it appears as if there's no Siman, when in reality, it's the Kol Siman, it's the all-encompassing Siman, it's the ultimate Siman, it's the Shem Klali, it's the Shevet that encompasses all the other Shvatim, it's the Degel Machane Don, that Yisrael Achrona, that travels in the back, the Ma'asev L'chol HaMachros is going to gather in the entire exile to bring the Gula Shlema. That returns all of the lost things to their place. We trust Shevet Dan to do such a thing. The answer is that's exactly the nature of Shevet Dan. That's exactly the nature of the Ikvus of the Mashiach. It appears to be the worst, but in so many ways it's the best. So B'li Kol Siman, it seems like they have nothing to offer. When in reality, they're dafka the ones that bring together the Gula Shlema. And now you understand the Malbims. Perhaps we could say a svar in the Malbims. The Malbim Siman. What was the Malbim Siman? The Malbim said the Siman was Eitzei. Aleph Tzadi Aleph. Eitzei is Aleph Tzei, that the Aleph should come back out. Right? That Aleph, Mishenichlas Adar, the Aleph that's contained within. That the Aleph, which is Dar within. That's how the Mor Naim explains Adar. Aleph is Dar. The Aleph between the two Vavs of the forgotten Vavi Abudim that hold together the whole Mishkan, which allows Hashkaras Hashchina to take place in this world. The Aleph should say, the Aleph should come back out, it should emerge. Yishenichlas Yayin Yatsa So, the ultimate So, that Aleph, the deep, the Aleph, the leader, the Rashis. Shevet Dan, which seems to be the Achris, is the Mice of the Rashis. They're going to be the ones to carry us, to walk us straight to Mashiach Sidkenu. So, Mirtz Hashem, as we come to Parshas Pekudei, as we conclude the Sefer of Galus and Geula, and we long that with Parshas Vayikra we can begin Toras Kohan. We should be zochet to have a Beis HaMikdash Bekarov, and we should each do our part to understand our role in this battle, the 54 of Shevet Dan versus all the 54s of Amalek and Haman, and Amir Tashem will bring an end to the Sefer of Gullus, and will usher in the Sefer of Geula, Toras Kohanim, Amir Tashem with the Geula Shlema, Meher B'Amenu.
Amen.
Shvayach.